continue in our study. Please join me as we open with this prayer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Never forget this, Yeshua is the word of God. And if you're wondering why we pay so much attention to the word, it's because we pay so much attention to Yeshua. We have been talking over the last few weeks about new chapters. And I want to share with you something that with new chapters come new blessings. And with many blessings come new spiritual battles. Your heart for God, your willingness to keep seeking his face, and your determination to follow him, they will all grow stronger as you face these battles. There are times when we're in a battle and we just want to be out of the battle. Can you identify with that? It's not even important that we win for us sometimes. We just want the battle to be over. How many of you have had those feelings? You just want to wake up one day and it's like that moment in the Wizard of Oz movie where it goes from black and white to color and everything looks nice. And it's so peaceful. The storm, the tornado is over, and it looks so wonderful. Sometimes, wouldn't you just rather stay asleep? Not wake up and have to face what's in front of you because you have that sense? Well, we're not made to sleep. God revives the sleeping. He awakens the sleeping. If you try to sleep, he'll make noise. He'll blow a shofar. He'll send the thunder. He'll send whatever it takes in order to awaken you. Awake, awake, get up. You probably know the story about the guy who that Shabbat morning, he didn't want to get out of bed. The alarm went, he hit snooze, went off again, he hit snooze again, time was running out. His mother, his dear mother, comes in and says, son, you've got to get up. And he says, I don't want to get up, I just want to stay in bed. And she said, but it's Shabbat, you've got to get up. And he says, I don't care if it's Shabbat, I don't want to get up. Why should I even get out of bed? And she said, son, you're the rabbi. There are moments when we can feel like that. Well, spiritual battles, that's part of the life that we're living. God has put us into this world. And he wants to lead us through life. Many of us want the blessings of Abraham. How many want the blessings of Abraham? Well, to get those blessings, you have to live the life of Abraham. The life of Abraham includes conflict, difficulty, challenge, new situations, opposition. Oh. Well, I didn't want those blessings. That must be part of the curse. No, that's part of the life. Amen. Yeshua once, I think, was talking to his disciples when they were in this fantasy mode. And he said, listen, what they do to me, they'll do to you. He was not that good with PR. But he was good at raising up people who became committed. And if someone tells you, you know what, it's just easy all the time, just claim your blessings and you'll never have any problems, ask them what non-prescription drugs they're taking. To set the stage in Scripture, I want to ask you to turn back from this week's Parsha to chapter 21 of Genesis to look at verse 22. It came to pass at that time that Avimelech and Phichol, the commander of his army, Avimelech, you know how you say that in Florida? Abimelech. Avimelech and Phichol, the commander of his army, spoke to Avraham, and they said, God's with you in all that you do. Now let's jump down to verse 25. And then Abraham rebuked Avimelech. Because of a well of water which Avimelech's servants had seized. And Avimelech said, I don't know who has done this thing. You didn't tell me that. And I haven't heard of any of this until today. And so Abraham took sheep and oxen. He gave them to Avimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Avimelech asked Abraham, what's the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs which you've set by themselves? And Abraham said, you will take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, and they will be my witness that I have dug this well. You take this gift, you take these lambs, and they confirm that the well is mine, that I dug it and it belongs to me, not to you. Therefore, he called that place Beersheba because the two of them swore an oath there. Okay, so can we agree that Abraham and Avimelech's crowd had some conflict? Can we agree on that? Mm-hmm. And it did have to do, among other things, with water. Is that correct? Okay, welcome to the blessings of Abraham. Okay, now let's go to this week's portion. We want to go to chapter 26. And we're going to read about the blessed life of Isaac. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Oh, wait a minute. I'm for prosperity. Let's cut this out of the Bible. All in favor of removing this from the Bible? It's in there for our instruction, to give us an understanding of what is true about life, not what's popular. It's very hard to build a big TV ministry on this verse. Hallelujah, famine's coming. A lot of people like that, actually, as long as the famine's for somebody else. God, bring your judgment down on that other political party. Right? That's how many people like to pray. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Do you remember God called Abraham? Get up, go out to a land I'm going to show you. Now later, the Lord says about that land, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Abraham gets there, it's not flowing with anything. There's a drought. And Abraham has to go where during the famine? Egypt. How many of you knew that? Okay, the rest of you, now you know. He goes to Egypt, and there God preserves him and watches over him until it's time for Abraham to come up. Now Isaac's in the land, Abraham is gone, and there's another famine. Ask yourself this question. Why do people move to Florida? The weather, right? You're watching the weather reports about Buffalo, New York. A lot of us, a number of us lived in the snow belt before. How many came from snowy zones? A lot of us. They had in Buffalo 5 to 6 feet of snow in a certain zone. And then they're calling for 2 or 3 feet more. They got in 2 days a year's worth of snow. Mm-hmm. I thank the Lord that the snow is part of my past. I'm hoping it's not a part of my future. And if it is, just for a few days. And there was a famine that Isaac experienced. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Abimelech, good guy, right? Abimelech loves Abraham, never has any problems. Everything's copacetic with Abimelech. And then the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt." Now, why would the Lord say to Isaac, "Do not go down to Egypt"? Think about that. Why would he have to say that? Why would it be in Isaac's mind, maybe I should go down to Egypt? Because his father went down there, right? Under the same kind of circumstance. And you see, many of us want to make rules and principles in order to put God in a box. In a time of famine, when you're in the promised land, what do? You go down to Egypt, right? That's what Abraham did. That's what I'm going to do. Wait, didn't Jacob later go down? So maybe it's true. No, maybe it's not. And that's not the right principle. The right principle is spoken by the Lord right here. Do not go down to Egypt. Here's the principle. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. You see, Isaac is called in different circumstances and a different generation to the same vision that God had for Abraham. Without Isaac, God's promise to Abraham will not be fulfilled. Jacob, under different circumstances, Joseph, all the sons of Israel were called to the same vision, but different circumstances. We have to learn something to get a hold of that vision, to let it get a hold of us, to not be going after some other vision, but to hold on to the vision that God had for the children of Israel throughout the generations. When I became a believer in Yeshua, one of the reasons that even the idea of following Yeshua was attractive to me is because I understood that in Yeshua, the vision that God gave to Abraham was being renewed. The promise he gave to Israel was being renewed. It was not being discarded. It was not being abrogated. It was being renewed. And that's why we call it the New Covenant, because it's a renewal with differences from the Sinai Covenant that God gave to Israel during the desert. It's not just the promise that God gave to Abraham. It's the promise that he continues to give to Abraham. Stay in the land, and I'll be with you and bless you. Stay in the land, famine. Stay in the land, Abimelech. They want my water. For to you and your descendants, I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because, now here's the key, because Abraham obeyed my voice. He heeded my voice. He kept my charge. He did what I told him to do. That's the principle. The principle is not coming up with a rule you want to perform and then saying, "God, I did that." The principle is you seek the Lord and you let him tell you. And you seek the Lord, of course, by your personal relationship with God, by the confidence you have in the covenant you make with him through Messiah Yeshua. But you also seek the Lord by listening to his commands and following them, his regulations and his teachings. And I can tell you this, you probably can confirm it. The Lord will teach you some things you don't want to learn. Hello? Isn't it true that the Holy Spirit doesn't respect our preferences all the time? Or our personalities? You're shy, he says, be bold. You're bold, he says, be quiet. You're tired, he says, get up and go. You want to get up and go, he says, sit down. What's with the Lord? And you like to argue, I know I do. But Lord, Lord, you made me this way. And he says, yeah, I made you this way so I could fix you. But I don't want to be fixed. Are you sure? Oh, I remember the dealings of the Lord in my life when I didn't want him to fix me about some things. And I came out of those dealings saying, if I ever say anything like that again, ignore me. The worst thing that can happen is that God would abandon you to your own desires. That's the worst thing in life that could happen to you. And so there will be times when he will put pressure on you. And you'll say, well, I wasn't made for this. And his response will always be, I'm making you for this. But I don't like spiritual battles. I'm not a prayer warrior. I'm not called to intercession. I'm called to leisure. Football. I got a calling to football. I actually don't have a calling to football. I thought I did when I was a kid. I was 10 years old playing backyard football. We played tackle without uniforms, without pads or anything. And we tackled pretty hard for 10-year-olds. But I'd seen a football player do a move that I tried to do. And when someone was trying to tackle him, he hurdled the guy. So I thought, okay, I can do that. And it was in the backyard. I remember exactly the moment. I can replay it without any difficulty in my mind. And my friend went down. He was on the ground, you know, on one knee, getting ready to grab my legs and just throw me to the ground. And I had this picture. And so I tried to fulfill it. And I hurtled over him. Almost successfully. And I caught my foot on his shoulder and performed an unintentional flip and landed on my left leg, which created a spiral break that went three times around the bone. Yeah. And thus ended my sense of calling about football. It didn't stop me from playing football after I got out of that cast months and months later. But it took a little bit of the enthusiasm out. But I learned, I won't tell you what I learned. Never mind. It's another day. There are times when you want to be or you want to do what you think is good for you. But I want to encourage you, whenever that's happening, press into God. Especially if there is even an inkling in your inner person that God has a different plan for you. Don't tune him out. Don't silence him. Don't distract yourself. That's the easiest way to tune out God. Distract yourself. Get busy doing something else or fulfilling the plan you have for yourself. Press into God and find out what he has. He says to Isaac, don't go down to Egypt. Don't go down. Live where I tell you, stay in the land. And then here's the promise, I will be with you. And that will become the refining of faith. Because sometimes we think if we can organize the circumstances so that they are more favorable to what we understand about life, that things will go well with us. But God has a different point of view. His point of view is this: wherever he is, it's going well. Whenever he's with you, that's good for you. And the very worst thing that you could experience, the worst of all life, would come by you living your life without him. Without his presence, without his guidance. I'll be with you. I will bless you. I will give you all these lands. You know, sometimes when things are tough, we don't want what God has promised. We want something else. Isaac, I give to you all these lands. And he looks out, there's a drought. Everything's burned up. The sheep, the flocks are dying. There's not enough water. There's not enough grazing for them. And God says, look, it's all yours. Maybe you've been in that kind of situation where things got tough and you had to decide, are you going to hold on to the vision and let God hold on to you? Or are you going to say, you know what? I would rather get something for myself because it's easier and I know how to do it. Seek the Lord, let him guide you. Heed what he says, do what he tells you. That's the word. Now look at verse 12 of Genesis 26. It says, Isaac planted crops in that land, and he reaped that year 100 times as much as he had sowed. The Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed him. The Lord really blessed him. It says the man began to prosper. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Are you in favor of that?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. He had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, a great number of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Are you in favor of that?
Yes.
Oh, of course, it doesn't just mean that they had a bad attitude. It meant they took action against him. And the nature of the Philistines' envy was very particular. It's not, I feel bad because you have it. It's, I don't want you to have it. We'll take it away from you. I mean, look at what happened in Israel this past week with the slaughter of those who were in the synagogue and worshiping. And then look at the follow-up to that and the number of Hamas followers and those among the Palestinians who were rejoicing over this barbaric act and celebrating barbarism. It's shameful. Now, the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. And they'd filled them with earth. And Avimelech said to Isaac, go away from us. You're too strong. We don't like you. This is a particular form of anti-Semitism. Hard to call it exactly that, since they're all Semites in that area. Then Isaac departed from there. He pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar. He dwelt there, and Isaac dug again the wells of water, which they dug in the days of Abraham his father, because the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them, and Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, and they said, the water is ours. And so he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him, and then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one too. And so he called its name Sitna, and he moved from there, and he dug another well, and they didn't quarrel over that. And so we called the name Rehovot, because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. And then Isaac went up there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Don't be afraid, because I'm with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. And so he built an altar there, and he called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. So the Lord did bless him, but with the blessing came challenge, conflict, resistance. And we see three commitments that rise up in Isaac during this time. The first one is the commitment to the legacy that Abraham passed on to him. He pursued what Abraham had already accomplished. He, if you will, reclaimed the inheritance of Abraham. That required that he remembered where the wells were. He had to remember their names. It required effort. He had to unstop. And I think some of you are in a situation, if you can reclaim what God has already passed on to you, it may require that you unstop what's been stopped up. It may require effort, but it can be the beginning of something new for you. It required determination and resolve, not just a single decision, but continuous decisions. There was a second commitment that he made, and that was to do new work when it was needed. I have noticed that sometimes people are enthusiastic when something's new. The word comes to them, they're excited, they start strong, but they give up quickly. At the face of the first opposition, they say, it must not have been the Lord, because it's difficult now. But the moment you equate difficulty with something not being the Lord, then you've bought into that idea of a trouble-free fantasy life. That's the symptom. Isaac did new work when it was needed. He reclaimed the wells of his father, but he also dug new wells. And there will be times when you face opposition and you have to dig new wells. You can't just reclaim what was passed on to you. I know there are some people in the Messianic movement who think, if we could just reclaim the Jewishness of faith, or we could reclaim this, or we could reclaim this one thing, everything would be fine. Wrong. There's more to it than that. Reclamation is important. It's essential. But it's not sufficient in and of itself. Remember this. Isaac did not abandon the assignment that was given to him. He worked within the parameters. This is important for us to understand. God said to Isaac, here are the parameters. You can stay in this zone and work. And so when the wells were stopped up, he unstopped them in that zone. When there was further conflict, he moved a little bit and dug new wells in that zone. Do you see that? Do you see how important this is? There's a temptation when we face difficulty, when we want to give up in the face of challenge, there's a temptation to work outside of our assignment, to seek another assignment, to come up with plan B for God. God, I know the plans you have for me. That's why I'm looking for something else. We have to humble ourselves before him. Lord, I lay before you my plans. Many other plans of a man. I lay before you my plans. And I submit my will to you, not my will be done. Say that with me. Not my will be done, but your will be done. Yeah, only a few of you said the second part. But your will be done. Not many more said it. Okay. Go home and work on that one. I think we touched the issue today. There's a boundary for you. Don't try to make another place to work for yourself. That's outside of the boundaries. Now, there are times when God will say, go anywhere. do anything. It's okay. And then you have freedom. But there are other times when he says, don't go anywhere. Stay put. I have the feeling that prison was necessary for Joseph because he would have left. But it kept him there. The loss of freedom that he experienced was not good, but God used it for good. He turned it for good. It was the result of injustice. That's true. That's absolutely true. We don't need to say that it was a good thing that happened, but God turned the result of it for good. That's how God works. Hafuch. He turns things upside down. He brings good out of what others intend for evil. What about difficulty? We learn something from Isaac. Do something new. Do it in a new way if you must. But use your intelligence, use your determination, use your resources, and make decisions that fit in with what God told you. Don't forget what he told you. Don't act like, because of the new difficulty, that what he said is out. Fit in. And then understand the solution will be within that framework. And then there was a third commitment. He kept moving. He didn't stagnate. He kept moving until he came to that place where he was free to live in the shalom that God was giving to him. But it was still within the boundaries of what God had assigned to him. This is so important. Reclaim the inheritance, the spiritual inheritance that's been prepared for you. Do the new work and in new ways when needed. Keep moving, but stay within the boundaries that God gives. If you've got a problem in your marriage, stay married. Work on the relationship. Don't look for another one. Hello? But the Lord put this other woman in my heart. No, he didn't. You did. I used to tell people when I was counseling with them, I was naive. I said, well, just do what's in your heart. And after a while, I would say to people, whatever you do, do not do what's in your heart. Get your heart right with God. The heart is never a liar. Your emotions will always lead you into the right way. Or the heart is deceitful. Yeah, and wicked. Not my heart, your heart. That's what we say. But you know, the scripture doesn't give any of us an out. We all have troubled hearts. The cure for the heart is submission to God. Circumcision of the heart requires the work of God and the will of men and women to agree to it. And it's not enough to make a one-time decision. I love what Rick Gray said. You want to finish well. Don't start well and then end up in hell. It's a nice little rhyme. Start well and finish well. Finish well. And the way to finish well is to keep renewing the first love. Keep renewing that call that God has on your life. Keep renewing the vision he gave you. Don't try to trade it in like it's a used car. Understand this, the vision of God is worth holding on to. And though it may tarry, Wait for it and hold on to it. And make it so plain and so simple that you can communicate it to others. And more important, that you yourself can run with it. Let it be that simple for you. Well, how many can identify that you're in a spiritual battle right now? You've been going through battles. And they don't touch just religious issues. Anybody in spiritual battles that touches your work? Anybody in spiritual battles that touches money? Anyone in spiritual battles that touches your health? Anyone in a spiritual battle that touches your housing and where you live? Anyone in spiritual battles that touches your schooling? I came to the conclusion that everything's a spiritual battle once you start following Yeshua. And when you are part of the Messianic movement, it just gets multiplied. But that's not bad news, that's good news. We are called for this as God's family, to make our way through this and to come close to Him. And He is Abba to us. He is our Father, and He will carry us through this, and He will lead us. Don't worry, because He will be with us. Amen. Now here's the key. To be with Him is the key. It's not, Lord, go with me. It's, Lord, I want to go where You're going. Amen. And then when you go where He's going, you can be assured of this, He will be with you. This you can be confident of. Well, let's pray for everybody who's in a spiritual battle. If you're in a spiritual battle, you could raise your hand. Okay, if you got the strength, stand up. Some of you say, well, I'd like to stand up, but I'm in a spiritual battle. I don't have the power. So just elevate your pinky or raise an eyebrow or tilt one ear up higher than the other and turn it to God. Lord, I thank You that we experience You in the land of the living, and that praise comes from us to You while we are alive. And we want to give praise and honor and glory to You. We want to magnify Your name. We want to be Your servants. And we understand something, Lord, that You are blessing us even through the challenges. And that You've prepared a way for us into a future that You understand better than we do. That is a good future. And we want to walk with You. We want to follow You. We don't want to go our own way. We don't want to wander or go astray. We don't want to be like those in the days of Judges who did just what was right in their own hearts. We want to be Your servants. Lord, renew in us that first love. Help us cleanse our hearts. Help us clean out our minds of all the distractions and all the counterfeits and all the motivations that would take us away from You. We want to be faithful. We want to finish well with You. And so I pray that You would renew our strength, renew our power, that we would be true sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that we would be those who reclaim and are determined and do things in innovative ways, but we do it within Your framework. And we keep on the move, but we stay within the boundaries You give us. Thank You, Lord, for strength. Thank You for power. Thank You for grace. And thank You for opening up what we couldn't open up for ourselves. For this reason, Lord, we want to dedicate this coming week to thanksgiving to You. And we say, Todah. Todah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for the life You've given us. Thank You for the life You are giving us. And though there may be famine, Or there may be wells that have been stopped up in opposition and envy and conflict. We know that you are with us, and we will serve you, and we will praise your name today, tomorrow, and forever. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. If you're standing by yourself, just move so that you're not by yourself. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat.